WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Video journalists John Alpert and Marianne DeLeo have built reputations by getting into international hotspots other reporters can't. Alpert was the first American allowed to film inside Castro's Cuba and post-war Vietnam. He and DeLeo filmed while under fire in the Philippines. They took their cameras on shoplifting sprees with crooks in New York City for a documentary on crime. In 1972, Alpert co-founded the Downtown Community TV Center for inner-city youth and community organizers in New York. Marianne DeLeo began working there in 1980. Although they see themselves as video activists, for several years they were also under contract to NBC's Today Show. Their relationship with NBC was terminated a couple of months ago when the president of NBC refused to air their footage from Iraq. They had ignored Pentagon press restrictions and entered Iraq with anti-war activist Ramsey Clark. Marianne DeLeo directed and produced their latest documentary. It's called Rape, Cries from the Heartland, and it will begin airing on HBO tonight. John Alpert served as executive producer. DeLeo focused on rape in Memphis, Tennessee, where she traveled with the police to the scenes of the crimes. Seven women agreed to be interviewed and allowed DeLeo to follow them through rape counseling, gynecological follow-up exams, and police questioning. I asked DeLeo how she convinced the women to talk on camera after the rape.
The police would always make the initial contact or the Memphis Rape Crisis Center. So I didn't jump out with the police with the camera, but I sat in the car, and they would go and talk to the victim, and then at the end of their conversation, they would say, by the way, there is this woman here, and she's got a camera, and she's making a documentary, and if you want to talk to her, she would like to speak with you. And that was the beginning of the difficult part, because then I had to go and sit with a woman who had just been raped and say, I know this is a really painful moment, and this is probably the last thing you want to do, but here's what I'm doing and why I think this is important. And I was surprised, really. I thought when I first got out there that maybe absolutely no one would agree to this, that it was, like you say, probably the last thing someone wants to see is somebody with a camera. But I felt that if I could do it in a way that was as unobtrusive as possible and not interfere or not question the person any more than they were being questioned, because they were being questioned by the police and by the nurses and by all kinds of people, that maybe that would make it not easier, but as best as could be expected in that situation with a camera.
Marianne, I know that you went into this story feeling, probably already informed about rape, and most women, whether they've been raped or not, have an understanding of what a horrible violation it is. But what did you learn that you didn't already know?
I don't think I was prepared for the brutality of the crime and seeing people completely beaten up, bruised all over, and some people bleeding, and the range of the victims that you're not exempt. I think when the people at the Rape Crisis Center told me that, when I asked them, well, what's the youngest victim, and they started talking about somebody who was a baby who was a few months old, I just was absolutely shocked. I couldn't believe that that could happen. And I just saw so many children come through that center every day. I found that really shocking and something that when I thought about rape, I didn't think so much about that.
Well, the movie that we're talking about is called Rape, Cries from the Heartland. It's a documentary that airs this month, premieres tonight on HBO, and my guest Marianne DeLeo is the director. My other guest, John Alpert, was the executive producer of this documentary, and they've made many documentaries together over the past few years. Let me ask you both to describe how you see yourselves as journalists, what your approach is to journalism, and how you think that compares to network TV reporting?
Well, we come from a completely different background from many of the reporters. No formal training in journalism, and for many years, I have to confess that we did not walk around presenting ourselves as reporters. We came from the streets of New York City. We were amongst the first people to begin to use these little tiny camcorders back when they developed in the early 70s, and we were looking on the news at the way in which our community was covered, and they never covered any of the issues that really affected the people. We had horrible health care in our community. This is Chinatown. The schools were falling apart. The elections were always fraudulent and rigged. And we began using our camera to document the things that were happening in our community. And we played our tapes back on the streets to the people from a truck. And if they didn't like the tapes, boy, they just walked away and we'd be showing these tapes to an empty sidewalk. And that's really the school that we came from. And it wasn't that here we are, big, sharp network reporters, I'm here for 2 minutes and goodbye. We were working within our own community amongst our peers and using television to help improve people's lives. And to some degree, we've always tried to maintain that spirit. And I think in that way, we differ from other reporters. If you look at our reports, we don't appear on camera. We don't think that people care to see us standing on a balcony in Baghdad or standing by the side of the Mississippi River in Memphis. They want to see the people who are the subjects of our program. And it's a very personalized style. We're friendly, normal people. We don't have a closet full of interesting and fancy clothes. We don't own a Burberry raincoat like many of the other reporters. And we're just folks.
Now, you say you don't appear on camera, but you do appear on the audio and asking questions or commenting or narrating. And John, I want to play an excerpt of the footage that you brought back from Iraq. And this is a part where you're in Basra and you've just walked into the Sheraton at the Basra, and you're speaking, you're asking a question of the two hotel clerks at the check-in desk.
Who pays you guys? Is Sheraton still paying you?
Yeah, Sheraton, yeah.
But how many customers do you have? Do you ever have any guests?
No, guests about 20.
21, since the war started?
Yeah.
While we're eating dinner at the hotel, a bomb landed down the street. We went over the next morning.
Well, boy, they really nailed this neighborhood.
Most probably he was trying to hit this bridge.
Oh, you think he was trying to hit the bridge over here? Yeah. But if they were trying to hit the bridge, they missed.
They missed it the second time.
Oh, yeah?
They just missed the hospital across the way, and the frustrated residents want to blow up the bridge themselves to avoid further attacks.
What do you think, you? What's your idea?
I think you're pretty angry. Yeah?
Angry. All angry.
So I think what we just heard is really vocally the opposite style of the authoritative, objective reporter. This is ultra-colloquial, the way you're speaking on here. Why do you want to be that direct and that colloquial?
I'm afraid I am who I am. And I don't think that I'm a person with any more extraordinary authority or insight than anybody else. I'm just an average American who's in a strange place. I feel compelled to try and find things out, especially in a situation where I know it's our planes, our tax dollars at work here, and I want to know what's going on.
If you're just joining us, my guests are John Alpert and Marianne DeLeo, award-winning video journalists who for many years reported freelance for the Today Show. Alpert co-founded and runs the Downtown Community Television Center in Manhattan, and DeLeo directed the new documentary Rape Cries from the Heartland, which will debut on HBO tonight. Marianne, you've risked your life more than once to report on a story. Give me an example of a story that you felt was worth taking that kind of chance for.
I think every time I take it, I think it's worth it, or I wouldn't take it. I always think about the Philippines because that was a situation where John and I felt that it was very possible we might die there, and it was very frightening. But I felt that it was... We were with the New People's Army in the mountains, and we felt that this was a perspective that wasn't being shown on American television, and it was really important that we show it.
Well, how do you manage to roll the camera or take photographs while you're under fire?
It's difficult. I have to say that I think John's been more successful, maybe because he's had more experience. I don't think my photographs were as good as the video. I mean, the video was exceptional. You just do it. Some part you're not thinking about the danger. You're just thinking about all the things that are going on in the viewfinder and what angle you need to get and what you're trying to show and how you're going to be able to do that.
John, what's your approach?
You know, the first couple of times we were in a situation and there was gunfire and danger, I have to say that I was really scared. I had assured myself that when the shooting started that I was going to stand right up and start filming, but I just bit the dust and was crawling around in a cow pie. This was in Central America. And I was somewhat ashamed at my natural fear and I guess was determined that when the situation presented itself again, I wasn't going to be chicken. And I think this was one of the things that propelled Marianne and I forward in the middle of this battle, is that we just didn't want to hide there behind a rock. We wanted to be able to capture and capture it up close. And a lot of times people will also try and criticize your war reporting and saying, nobody's that stupid, nobody's going to film this, it's got to be fake. And we wanted to make sure that we were close enough there so that people could actually see the horror of what was going on and would know that it wasn't fake and would really understand the turmoil that was going on in the Philippines. So we just pushed ourselves. After it's over, you start shaking. At night when you try to sleep, you see the dead bodies and you see the blood. But while it's actually happening, you're able to push yourself forward.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Marianne DeLeo and John Alpert, award-winning video journalists, and who for many years reported for the Today Show. Alpert co-founded the Downtown Community Television Center in Manhattan, and DeLeo directed the new documentary Rape Cries from the Heartland, which debuts tonight on HBO. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. Journalists Marianne DeLeo and John Alpert are my guests. Marianne, you've been in tight spots in different countries, in different cultures, you know, in cultures where women would never be part of the military, and in countries where women are a part of the guerrilla troops. Are you treated differently depending on the culture that you're in? Have some people in one culture rush to protect you, and other people figure, well, women take care of themselves, you know?
Yeah, it's different in different countries. I was surprised in the Philippines that there kind of weren't more people there to protect me. But sometimes it's a country that doesn't have a good reputation for treating women well. And it's hard to explain to somebody else. I don't think really John can understand it, but there are very subtle things that you are just invisible. And what you say doesn't matter and people ignore you. And it's not about sort of protecting you, but it's about that you have no power in their society. And so therefore you are not seen. And that's very hard to deal with.
Give me an example of what you mean.
I would say in Iraq, that was definitely the case. The people there did not talk to me much about what we were doing and what was happening. And I don't even think they felt necessarily threatened by whether I was taking photographs or whether I had the video camera or not. I was a woman, and I just felt that they didn't think I was significant, really.
Does that ever help you because people won't be threatened by your presence since you don't count?
Well, maybe in this case, because John and I were driving out of Iraq and were on a small road and drove into this little town called Heat. And we both got out to take a picture of a gas station that was closed down. And I had a still camera and a video camera on my shoulder, and John had a video camera. And we both started to film things, and all of a sudden there were a few cars that drove up, and a guy with a gun got out and pointed it at John's head. And everybody pretty much ignored me that I had this other camera, and they just kind of surrounded John. And we tried to calm them down, but they arrested us anyway, and never really talked about that there was a still camera and another video camera involved. They just took this one camera that John had been holding and turned it over many, many times and talked about that this is war and you can't do this, and this man's family was killed and he thought John was an American pilot. But I felt as though they really didn't focus on me as a journalist at all, which was, I guess it protected me in some way, but it's not a good feeling at any moment that you're not visible.
Right. If you're just joining us, my guests are Marianne DeLeo and John Alpert. They're award-winning video journalists who for many years reported freelance for the Today Show, and Alpert co-founded the Downtown Community Television Center in Manhattan. DeLeo directed the new documentary Rape Cries from the Heartland, which will debut tonight on HBO. In all the years that you've been a journalist, do you ever feel that you were duped by a source that you trusted?
We've gotten to the point that we know most of the tricks. And we've been around the block so many times in so many different places that we've got a darn good idea whether something's real or not. And when somebody's in the process of tricking us, we usually figure it out, and either we point out to them that they're trying to dupe us and we won't accept it, or we figure some way to get around it. An interesting example was when we were in Cambodia, and we were with the Vietnamese and Cambodian armies on the border there, and they were under attack by the Khmer Rouge. And as good red-blooded reporters would do, we kept on insisting that we wanted to go to the front and we wanted to see the real fighting. And they said no, that they wouldn't take any reporters to see that, that it was too dangerous and too strategically sensitive. And we kept on insisting. So after about 3 days, they said, okay, we're going to the front. We got real excited. And they put us in a truck and they drove us down the road and left us off in a rice field. And we said, well, this doesn't seem like the front because we've been driving past this location two or three times this past week and it didn't seem like it was the front. And then all of a sudden we see creeping through the rice paddies the Cambodian soldiers with camouflage on their heads pretending like they were looking for the Khmer Rouge. And they were so serious and they were looking to the left and looking to the right.
They'd stop and pose every time they moved.
And so me and Mary look at each other. We didn't really want to laugh, but we said, now, fellas, this is just not acceptable. It's not real. Either take us to the front, but don't play games. So they said, okay, tomorrow we'll take you to the front. So the next day they drove us down another road, left us off in another rice paddy, and this time they had twice as many soldiers going through the rice paddies, looking to the left, looking to the right. And this continued for two or three days, and finally they said, listen, we're never going to take you to the front. And we said, good, let's stop pretending, and we left. But we've had other times when we've just kept insisting that we will not accept anything but actually going and seeing it ourselves. And eventually you wait them out. It's happened to us, for example, in Nicaragua, where they just kept us in the barracks for weeks and weeks. And then finally they said, all right, maybe the only way to get rid of these people is to kill them off. And they let us go up into the mountains. And we were the first people to actually film the fighting between the Sandinistas and the Contras.
John, you have been criticized for once staging a scene within documentary footage you were shooting. What was the scene and why did you do it?
Well, what happened is we were in Afghanistan, and we had a specific request from NBC to get a footage of the American embassy being closed down and the flag being lowered at the American embassy as the Americans left Afghanistan. And we called up the embassy, and they said, yeah, we're doing this at 10 o'clock. Come on down and take the picture. So at 10 minutes to 10, we arrived at the American embassy, and to our horror, there were groups of reporters leaving the embassy, and as we walked in there, the ambassador was standing next to the flagpole with a flag under his arm, and he said, oh, gee, John, I'm sorry. I forgot to tell you, we moved it up to 9 o'clock, and we're finished. He said, but not to worry. We'll just put it up on the flagpole and take it down again. And I was scared. I was really scared. It was a specific request from NBC. They never ask us for anything. We basically are on our own in these countries. And we had, up to that particular point, a 10-year unblemished record. We had been investigated many, many times. People had accused us of staging things in different countries, mostly out of jealousy or they didn't agree with what we were showing. And NBC had analyzed our tapes upside and down and gotten witnesses to testify that we always had everything exactly correct. This time we didn't. We cheated. And we basically shot ourselves in the foot. And as a result of that, we were severely chastised. And it's almost like a scar that you carry around with you forever. And even though we have tried to more or less dig ourselves out of the hole that we did, that's always going to be haunting us forever. You can look at that and say that it wasn't a significant incident. You can put it in perspective and look at the years and years of completely truthful and honest reporting, and you can say that everybody makes mistakes, but it really doesn't excuse it, and it's something that we'll be ashamed of forever.
Well, is the lesson of that in a way that you can't go into a situation knowing what it is that you want, but rather letting the situation tell you what it is?
No, I think that the lesson to us is that if you miss something, you miss it. And we have a terrific competitive drive. We've pushed ourselves all over the world, gotten places first, and it's been very important for us to be able to bring back things that other people haven't seen. But sometimes you miss it. In most cases, if you miss it, you just swallow and walk away, and we should have walked away from that one.
Now, you've had a very unusual relationship until recently with NBC, which is that you were freelancers who were submitting reports to them. Not only are you freelancers, but you're freelancers who are known to have a point of view in your journalism, which is something that's really discouraged in network reporting. What kinds of occasions would they turn to you for reports as opposed to their own full-time reporters?
Well, we would be able, I would think, more by sweat and hard work than anything else to get to places that other reporters couldn't get to. We're the first reporters to go into Vietnam after the war, first in Cambodia after the war. I mean, we can start listing these things, but I don't like thumping our chests. We outworked people, and we would be prepared to more or less eat dirt and sleep outside for weeks until we were able to get to where things were happening. A lot of times, normal, regular network correspondents don't have that luxury. There's a terrific pressure for them to keep reporting in. They're tied to their satellite dishes. At this particular time, if you watched, for example, the coverage of the Persian Gulf, immediacy was the most important thing, not so much the depth of coverage. Who could get on the air as quickly as possible after a Scud missile attack was announced? And so you would see all these correspondents standing in the dark, and there was a race to see who would get on the air first, not with any particularly illuminating type of news, but who was there first. And this type of thing has pervaded and become more and more prominent in news reporting over the years. We ignore that, and we just basically slog our way through the mud until we get the story.
Do you ever worry about your luck running out?
Well, we sure thought our luck had run out in Iraq when this gentleman had the pistol to the side of my head, and I think the only thing that prevented him from killing me was the fact that he couldn't figure out how to get the bullets in the gun. He kept putting it upside down, and the fact that Marianne kept calming the guy down and keeping him from figuring it out and pulling the trigger. So we lost a couple of the nine lives in that particular episode. Sure, you know, if you walk through the fire enough times, you're going to get burned.
Marianne, what did you say to calm this person down?
Well, since I do not speak the native tongue of Iraq, I don't think it's what I was saying. Is that we were all huddled around this guy with his gun, and it was mostly hand gestures. And I wish I could have said something, but I didn't say in words anything. I just showed my concern that things did not have to go to this for us to put our cameras away.
I want to thank you both very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
And my guests have been Marianne DeLeo and John Alpert, two award-winning video journalists. DeLeo directed the new documentary Rape, Cries from the Heartland, which will debut tonight on HBO and then be shown several more times over the course of the month. And John Alpert was the executive producer of this new documentary. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.